The church in Antioch were about to send out two missionaries. You can't just sit there. This is really the first Gentile church, and we're going to send two people out. Now, whom shall we send? Well, we could send two novices. You know, these two guys over here, they don't do much anyway. Let's send them out. After all, we need our important people here. We need the smart people here. We'll send these two guys over there. No, they didn't do that. Well, maybe two new converts. They're excited. You ever see how excited they are about their salvation? Well, send them out. They don't know much about the Bible, but neither do the heathen. And they don't know anything about it either, so they'll know more than they do. That'd be enough. No, they didn't do that. You know what they did? They sent two of their very best people. The best ones. Send them out to the mission field. And I'm sorry, but I see sometimes that people have the idea, oh, if he can't do anything else, we'll send him to the mission field. You know, we'll keep our best ones here. They're the pastors. The guy, you know, 6 feet tall and wavy hair and all that. He had a couple of drama courses, so he knows how to really get people's attention. We'll keep him here, and we'll send these other guys over to the mission field. Not so here. They sent their very best. They sent Barnabas and Saul, their very best Bible teachers. And Barnabas and Saul had led many of these people to the Lord. Oh, they're looking up to them. No, we're going to go over here. You stay here. You do the work we trained you to do. So that's the way they did it. And the work was to go on, you know. They left others there, others that they had trained. They're going to carry the work on. It seems to me that the mark of a good leader is that when he leaves, the work keeps on going. You know, sometimes you hear pastors say, well, that church was going fine until I left, because after all, I'm important. Melanie, since she's not here, I can tell you, Melanie had a principal in one of her schools. She was working with him, and he really did a great job there at that school. Brought in a lot of students for her special efforts and so forth. But this principal, just before he left, he said, well, we're going to cut that program out. She had brought in some really good people there, a lot of students and so forth. And he said, well, we're cutting that out. And then when he left, the place went down. I don't know what they're doing now, but they're not doing what they did before. And he bragged on several occasions before that, well, every time I leave a place, it seems like it goes down. Well, that's the mark of a bad leader. He doesn't, when they leave, the work ought to keep on going, because he's trained people to do just that. Well, this was true at Antioch. It just kept going. And it happened because of the quality of the elders. The Lord was there, of course, and the Holy Spirit was there. But you know, the Lord and the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit, cannot do in a church what people will not allow him to do. Remember what Jesus, they said one time, I think it was John that records, he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And the Lord can't do things unless our belief, we believe what he wants to do in us, we believe that he can do it through us, and we, in fact, do it. So they had dedicated leadership, and their dedication reflected the Savior. You ever think about that? What aspect of the Lord's life and ministry does your life reflect? I think it's very interesting. John Phillips suggested these things as I'm giving them to you. But I think he's right on that these men, their minds, their lives reflected things about the Lord Jesus. Now let me read first verse 1. We're only doing three verses here today. Now there were in the church, that was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as, and here are their names, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaim, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. I'm going to add one, Mark, John Mark. But these were the leaders in the church, and they each reflect something of the person of Christ. First one, I believe, Barnabas, he's the first one mentioned, probably because he was sent from Jerusalem, and he was more the leader of them, but he's first, and he represents the sweetness of the Lord. You see it in your outline, by the way, if you're following, or it's on here. The sweetness. I don't think they called him sweetness. This is not the Walter Payton, you know. He was sweetness in Chicago, but he represented the sweetness of the Lord. The way he lived. Barnabas was one who showed what Jesus was like. His name was Joseph, you know, and they nicknamed him Barnabas, which means, of course, the son of consolation or encouragement or exhortation. He was a well-to-do man, and he sold property that he had. This is chapter 4 of Acts. He sold property, and he gave it to the disciples and said, here, take it, use it wherever you can, wherever you want. Boy, that sounds like the real sweet Lord. That's what the Lord was, wasn't he? The Lord gave. He gave himself everything that he had for us. And that's what Barnabas was. He gave himself. He introduced Saul to the apostles when they were suspicious of him. Oh, Saul's trying to get in here, gonna put us in prison or kill us. No. Barnabas said, no, take Paul, he's a good man. So he did that. He also went to Antioch to get Saul, bring him down to, went to Tarsus to get Saul, and he brought him back to Antioch to minister there. Even though I believe he knew right then that Saul outshone him in his gifts and his education and so forth. But he brought him down, let's work together. And he did that. It's like Jesus. Jesus was went about doing good. When he went to the woman, they brought him a woman that had been taken in adultery. What did he say to her? I give you forgiveness. Go and sin no more. The woman at the well. I give you the water of life. The weary and heavy laden. Come to me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He was always giving. That's the Lord. And that's the sweetness of the Lord that Barnabas pictures. Then there's the suffering of the Lord. Simon of Cyrene. Remember, does that ring any bells to you? Well, here's a Simon, and many people feel this is the one. This is the Simon of Cyrene who carried Jesus' cross. He was a Jew. He had a Roman name. His Roman name was Niger, which means dark complexion, black man. He was there, and he was from North Africa. He was compelled, if this is the right one, compelled to carry Jesus' cross. So someone has said, he's been to Calvary, but he didn't die there. He went to Calvary, but he didn't die. Well, now he's crucified with Christ. He died because he received Christ as his Savior, and he's serving him. He returned home. What do you think he did when he went? He's from North Africa. He carried Jesus' cross. He was there at the Passover, a proselyte. And he's carrying Jesus' cross, and then he sees Jesus crucified. And he went home back to North Africa. What do you think he said? They said, how was the Passover? Oh, do you know what I did? I carried Jesus' cross. Who's Jesus? Well, he's the one who died for the sins of the world. See, isn't that a natural thing? Boy, that would be a great witnessing tool, wouldn't it? Yeah, I carried Jesus' cross. Yeah. Well, that's what he did, I'm sure. When he went back, he was a missionary. He was an evangelist. See, so he was told everyone, and when he got to that end of that, he said to them, "And you can receive him too." And he did. So he was the one who reminds us of the suffering of the Lord. Then there's the sovereignty of the Lord. Lucius. Lucius is also from Cyrene. He reminds us of the sovereignty of Christ. And in this way, Jesus ruled over circumstances, you know. He wasn't ruled by them. He made them up. Do you know that on the cross that he was one orchestrating things? He wasn't telling them what to do, but he was there and he was watching things. He could have stopped it in a moment, easily. Don't you think I can call 10,000 angels, you know? Of course he could. He didn't. He allowed it to happen. He was the sovereign Lord. He could watch. He did everything. He had everything under control. And he said in John 4, he said, he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Well, because there was a woman there at a well, and he needed to give her the gospel. And he did. He did it exactly the way it was supposed to be done. And he said, I have to go to Jerusalem. Why did he have to go to Jerusalem? He had to go there to fulfill all that the prophets had said concerning his death and there to die. They bring him the hardest cases. You know, here, the man who has 1,000 demons in him, the maniac of Gadara. Who can do anything with him? And Jesus called the demons out, and they are gone. You know, they ask him questions. There's a passage, I believe it's 13th of Mark, where they keep asking him questions. The Pharisees had theirs, the Herodians had theirs, and it's just beautiful. They said, here's a tough question. What about this? And then these are questions that everybody knew about in seminary. They would say, this is the tough one. This is the sovereignty of God kind of thing. Well, they would bring those to him. He answered, boom, got it. Oh, wow, I never thought of that. Well, what about this one? There you are. Hip, boom, got it. He had it all. They brought the hardest cases. They brought the toughest questions. And he answered them all because he is that sovereign one. He spoke to the cock, and the cock crowed on cue, exactly at the right time, three times. Well, that's the kind of man he was. He was sovereign. He spoke to the fish, and they jumped into Peter's nets. You know, he spoke to the winds and the waves, and they were calm. That's Jesus, the sovereign Jesus. Well, how does that fit with this Lucius here? Well. He was the second one we've heard already from Cyrene. Do you suppose Lucius from Cyrene had heard the gospel from Simon of Cyrene? Simon's telling him, oh, look what I did. And here was Lucius. And Lucius came to know the Lord because of the testimony of Simon of Cyrene. And well, how did he get here? The Lord got the message of the gospel from the cross to North Africa, and Lucius heard it, and then the Lord got him from there, 500, 600 miles north to Antioch, and here he's ministering in the work of the Lord. It's a small thing for the sovereign God to do, to get him all the way up there. So Lucius reminds us of the sovereignty of the Lord. And then the Manaen of Judea reminds us of the salvation of the Lord. Two men grew up together. They were Manaen and Herod. Oh, they were boyhood friends. They were in the same family. Manaen was a foster brother to Herod. And as they played together, they studied together, they laughed together, they ate together, but one became a beast and the other became a believer. Herod became a beast. He stole his brother's wife, Herodias. He beheaded John the Baptist. That's the one we're talking about. Beheaded John the Baptist. He judged Jesus at his trial. Jesus called him that old fox. That's the kind of man he was. Together, they grew up, and one man became a beast. The other one, Manaen, here in this passage, he became a believer. We know what he was saved from. He was saved from all that debauchery that Herod went through. But what was he saved for? Well, he was saved for the ministry that he was doing. He was one of God's choicest servants there in Antioch. He was one of the elders there of that church. And he was an instrument of God to evangelize the world, as we're going to see in a moment. And that reminds us of the salvation of the Lord. We also have one, Saul of Tarsus, who reminds us of the service of the Lord. He was gifted. He was an apostle. How many gifts of the Spirit do you suppose he had? I don't think anybody has them all. But boy, the Apostle Paul seems to fit the bill for most of them. He was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor teacher. So he had the gifts, spiritual gifts. And you don't have to have them all. You don't have to have a bunch of them. Whatever you have is what you need to do to serve the Lord. I got a call last week. Was it last week? Week before. Some lady wanted to know about our spiritual gifts seminar and so forth. Well, she finally ordered it, and she ordered 14 books along with it. She's going to make a class on the spiritual gifts. It's important. It's important that we know what they are. Here was a man, Saul, who had spiritual gifts, and he was talented. He had a great intellect, untireless energy, world vision. He really was a man of the world. He was comfortable in three different worlds, in Roman, among the Romans, among the Jews, among the Greeks. He was comfortable. And all of these things he dedicated to the Lord. He says in Philippians 3, all those things that I had, he lists them what they are, all those things I count as rubbish for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's a man for service. He reminds us of the service of the Lord. Then there's one more, and I added this one to John Phillips' list. There was a second chance guy. The guy who was a second chance, he got a second chance from the Lord. His name was John Mark from Jerusalem. He was not an elder here. He was a helper, but he was there. But not everybody is a shining success all the time, every time. Get this in mind. I don't know whether any of you are that, but sometimes people fail. And John Mark failed on his first assignment. We're going to see this probably next week. When they got to, remember, he went along with Barnabas and Saul. He's going to go on this first missionary journey. Well, they don't get very far till John Mark says, I quit. I'm going home to mommy. I don't like this. So he left. And so that was a failure right there. He didn't go to the work. And so he missed his first assignment. And then he caused the breakup of Barnabas and Saul. Later on, before the second missionary journey, in Acts 15, Barnabas said, let's go get John Mark and we'll go on another missionary journey. And Paul said, there ain't no way. That guy's a quitter. We're not going to have him around me. And they split up. The contention, the scripture says, the contention was so strong that they split up. And John Mark went one way, and Saul took Titus and went somewhere else. Split up the whole team. Why? Well, because of John Mark. He's a quitter. And, of course, because of Saul, too, some of his actions, I guess. But anyway, it happened. He caused a breakup. Of course, later, let me not leave you there. Later on, let me read you something that Paul says. In Colossians 4:10, he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin to Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes, Mark, if he comes, welcome him. Isn't that great? Paul had a little change of mind. Then in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Get John Mark, bring him with you, for he is useful for the ministry. Isn't that great? He's a second chance guy. Philemon 24, he says this, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ greet you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. He's a fellow laborer with Paul. See? So, and then Peter writes this in 1 Peter 5:13. He says, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. He's a son, like a son to Mark, to Peter, and said, greet one another, and so forth. So Mark then he went from Paul and Barnabas to help with Mark, and he was with Mark. Mark was with Peter in Babylon. So then, of course, you know that Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. From his association with Peter, he wasn't there as an eyewitness to the things of Christ, but Peter was his source of information for the writing of the Gospel of Mark. So these men are there, and that's why when they sent out these missionaries, there were some really good men there in the ministry at Antioch. And then the method of the ministry, they were committed to the Lord's service. Of course they were. No, but it's very important here to see. They were spiritual. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. That word ministered there is a word that means religious service. It's like they used in the Old Testament of the priests. When the priest did service in the tabernacle, it's called this religious service, this kind of service. And it says they were doing that. These were spiritual men doing spiritual service. And they were sincere. Now, how do you know that they were sincere? Well, it says they fasted. They ministered and they fasted. I'll tell you, when people get serious about doing things, they fast. Stop eating. Pastors, you ever see pastors when they get together? Pastors for having lunch. And boy, they pour it in. Well, ministering the Lord, if you're going to be a minister of the Lord, sometimes it's necessary to be fasting, to be giving up not just food, but giving up things, sacrificing things. Because the service of the Lord takes precedence over many of those things. So they were spiritual and they were sincere. Fasting, doing without legitimate things. That's the idea. Not just fasting. Quite frankly, I think that, well, I won't go into that. But the fasting is not so much the food as it is taking the time for preparation and all of that. And using that time to for prayer. That's what I think he's talking about. But they were sincere, spiritual sincere. And they did it in order to serve the Lord and involve not only food, but time and money and talents. They did it all because they were committed to the Lord's service. They're also committed to the Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to them, say, so, if the Holy Spirit said something, they're going to do it. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. The method was, he apparently spoke through the prophets in the church. Now, there were prophets in the early church. I take it there are not prophets here and now. But in the early church, the message had to get out, not because it wasn't written down. They had to have it orally, and it came through one of the prophets there, one or more of the prophets. And so the method was the prophets. And then the message was, separate or set apart to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, there are several things there, several principles I'd like to remind you of. First, the principle of setting apart. The missionary says to me that the missionaries are a set-apart group. Missionaries are special. They're a special set-apart people. And it's true of many things, ministries in the church, that people are set apart to do that ministry. Well, missionaries here are a set apart group. The word is used of Paul being set apart three times. He was set apart at his birth. He was separated unto God. And at his conversion, he says, he was set apart for the gospel, Romans 1:1. And he was set apart here for specific service. So here's one who's set apart to God. He is set apart for the gospel. And now he's set apart to do a particular thing, a particular task. So that's the principle of being set apart. Then there's the principle of multiple ministries. Now, by that I mean this. He sent out two people, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul, two of them, not just one. And there are several reasons for that, I believe, that they were set apart to have them go in fellowship. It's lonely being by yourself. I know that. My wife is gone. It's tough being alone, you know. And here there are two people going out. Remember, in Jesus sent out the disciples. He sent them out two by two. Why? Well, they needed the fellowship together. They needed to have cooperation. They needed it for safety. They needed it maybe for consulting each other. Shall we do this or that? Well, together they can decide. So there's the multiple multiple fellowship. Then there's a principle of multiple calling. The Holy Spirit told the leadership. The Holy Spirit said to the elders, separate unto me Saul, Barnabas and Saul, to the work to which I have already called them. Now, the point I'm making here is that the Lord told the leadership, send out Barnabas and Saul. But the Lord also told Barnabas and Saul, I want you to go out there to the mission field. Now, what am I saying? Well, I'm saying this, that if you get called to a ministry, the Lord will tell the leadership about it too. If the church is supposed to send you out, the Lord will tell the church. And that means then that he'll tell you, but he'll also tell the leadership. And if he tells the leadership something, he'll also tell you. That is, we don't need any lone rangers running around in missions. I've seen it. I've seen the people who have a silver tongue. They can raise money everywhere, and they do pretty well on the mission field. I went to visit a friend of mine on the mission field. He had a Mercedes, just built a new home. He was writing books and selling. Well, you know, what a little strange. In any case, what I'm saying to you is that if the Lord calls you, he'll tell the leadership. If the Lord tells the leadership, he'll tell you. No lone rangers, responsible only to themselves. We also don't need any dictators. That is, the leadership saying, now you go here and you go here, and the Lord didn't tell you anything about it. See? So there is a multiple calling. The Lord calls missionaries. The Lord lets the missionary know. He lets the leadership know as well. So they were committed to the Lord's service, the Lord's Spirit, but also to the Lord's sacrifice. They were praying for Barnabas and Saul. He said, having fasted and prayed. So it's not only fasting, but praying. The praying didn't stop here either. Oh, well, send them off. We'll stop praying for them. No. It continued. As long as they were out there, the church is praying for them. And that's one thing I like about sending people out of the church and the church sending the people to another place. The church, there's correspondence between them. They learn what's happening. Every time Paul came back from a missionary journey, he went to Antioch. You know why? Of course. To tell them what's going on. Right? To share with them, to thank them, to let them know what their prayers had been all about. So This idea of out of sight, out of mind is not good. It's not a good motto for missions. No, the home church is really praying for you, holding the lines, and in our day, they're also sending money to help. We'll talk about that in a minute. So they were praying for Barnabas and Saul. They're also partnering with Barnabas and Saul. They laid hands on them. And the laying hands on, J. Vernon McGee says, they don't transmit anything but germs. You don't give anything when you lay hands on. A few Sundays ago, I was away laying hands on one of our students who's in South Miami. You lay hands on not to give them anything, but to identify with them. They were identifying with the service of Barnabas and Saul. And the elders together, I take it the other four elders, gathered around and laid their hands on them and said, we are sending you out, and we're a part of your ministry. And they're also not only identifying themselves with the ministry and saying, we're with you, but they're saying, whatever you do, we do. So you have to be very careful on whom you lay hands, because sometimes you'll be guilty of the work that they do if they're not right. So they identify themselves with it. It's like the priests of the Old Testament when they laid their hands on the sacrifice. Remember, they laid their hands on the sacrifice, and the sacrifice then became them. See. And the sacrifice was for their sins. So the identifying, the laying on of hands was identifying in that sense. So the church was represented by them, that they were an extension of the church wherever they went. See, Jesus told the church to go into the whole world. Did you go out there yet? The whole world's supposed to go. Are you there? No, you're here, because not everybody can go, but everybody can be represented there. Everybody can be a part of it by the giving and by prayer. And then in that way, you are going to the mission field. You're identified with them. That's the idea, I think. And so by your giving, your praying, you are a part of the ministry and you are going out there. So by your faithfulness, you're laying hands on the missionaries and sending them out. So then there comes the parting with Barnabas and Saul. They sent them away. I mean, I don't like that translation. I think rather they released them. They let them go. They dismissed them. There may be in that idea, sending them out, the idea of sending money, but there's no money mentioned here. But they may have given them something. In Acts 18, there's a section where they sent Apollos. And with that, the context indicates that they helped him along, gave him a letter of recommendation, that kind of thing. But here, they sent them. They released them. But who sent them? The Holy Spirit sent them, exactly. So they sent them out. The Holy Spirit sent them out. They released them, and they recognized the Holy Spirit's leading, and they cooperated with him. And then this was the first parting, but Paul had many more partings. And it's a painful thing sometimes. I've had a few. But the first one is a tough one, leaving your home church. I still remember that. When we were sent from our home church off to college and seminary and so forth. That was tough, leaving the church that we had helped start. But you have other times. You leave this place or another place. You get some help from having gone through it before, but it's still not easy. The first one's probably the hardest, is what I'm saying. So they got some missionaries out. That's a great church. It's a church that was, they reflected the Lord, and the church that obeyed the Lord. And so the church sent their best to the mission field. How do you think they took care of themselves? Paul was a tent maker. And when he had to work, he worked. He didn't mind working. Things change. There are a lot of people saying, well, look, we don't need to give him any money. Paul didn't get any money. Things change. They need that. But in any case, in the rest of the book of Acts, we're going to see how Paul's missionary worked, what they did, how they did it, and this is just a send-off to those things.